Hey, Flames fans, welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. We are your hosts, Kyle Lewis and Brad Burritt. Brad, we are we're doing another special summertime episode here.
Yeah, they've been a lot of fun so far, and I don't expect this one to be anything different. It should be a good time. We're going to be talking about defining deals in Calgary Flames history. The deals that changed the course of the franchise and in good and bad ways, right?
I think the scales might tip one way a little bit, but yeah, I think every team's got them, but when you really think about the long-term impact of some of these deals, it's pretty remarkable how far-reaching they can be.
It is. I mean, we're going to talk about some deals that are somewhat recent, and we're going to talk about some that'll take us back just a little bit, but we'll lay down what we think are the most defining deals, and then give you a little insight and some thoughts on each of those. So I don't know, Kyle, do you want to start, or do you want me to start with one that I feel is a defining deal?
I'll start, because I think we may as well, we'll get the one out of the way that everybody always talks about, right? And that, of course, will be the Doug Gilmour trade. So this is the obvious one, slow pitch down the middle for our listeners. We've all, you know, covered it lots, but I actually very recently got to meet Doug Gilmour, and in so doing, I looked at him and I said, hey, as you know, I run a podcast with a great guy in North Dakota, and he produces it, and we're doing it together for a few years after he'd started it. And I said, we're actually doing some special episodes. One of the special episodes is the worst trades in Flames history. I said, what do you think the first one we're going to talk about is? And honestly, the smirk on his face, it was pretty unreal. So he took my stick. He's like, you want me to sign this number 39, right? I said, if you put 93, I'll tell you where you put that stick. That got a pretty good laugh. So we actually get to have a beer over it and talk a bit about the trade. And obviously it was a contentious situation at the time. It's widely regarded as the worst trade in Flames history for a lot of good reason. And also it's weird circumstances in that Cliff Fletcher left Calgary to go to Toronto and acquire his own players, so to speak. Right. Now forgive me.
Place on I can give you the details on the trade. Yeah. So the people who are listening that have forgotten, because there was a lot of pieces that are impossible to remind. September 6th, 1988 to Calgary, to St. Louis was Doug Gilmour, Mark Hunter, Steve Bozek, Michael Dark. Mm-hmm. To Calgary was Mike Boulard, Craig Cox, and Tim Corkery.
Crazy, eh? It's just crazy.
I don't even know any of those names. I mean, obviously we know who Mark Hunter is, but outside of that, Steve Bozek maybe a hair, but outside of that, names that we don't know anymore. And it was a trade that looked so lopsided right away. I mean, Hunter and Gilmour were integral parts of that 89 Cup winning team, and it's just mind blowing that deal even went down.
Yep. Well, and I mean, he kind of forced a hand because he walked out, right?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and as I was going to say, forgive me there. Like, you know, it's because you're a little bit older than I am, but you would have a much more vivid memory of that trade. But even for me, as a Flames fan, that trade's haunted me my entire life as a fan. It's constantly brought up. And you know what the worst of it is? This happened actually a couple times on the weekend with some guys I was playing hockey with and against. I remember one or two of them saying they didn't even know that Gilmour was a Flame. It's like, he won the cup in Calgary. What are you talking about?
You know, there was so many good players on that team, though, that he was, I don't want to, by no means would I ever say he was forgotten in that cup run, but there was such a vast number of key parts that, like, you know how, like, when things are good and you get rid of one,
yeah,
like initially you're just like, well, we still have eight other, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I remember it being looked at until, like, we, like, stepped back and looked at the return and was like, but wait a second. Like, none of this makes sense. And then we watch Gilmour go on and be such a menacing, scoring key player throughout his whole career.
Yeah.
It's like, what could have been, right? And that's what
a lot of it is. Yeah, and it's and on the other end of Gilmore's career was, you know, people forgetting or not even knowing he played for Chicago, Buffalo, Montreal. It was actually a pretty important piece for Montreal, despite, you know, being in the back nine of his career, the very end of his career before he went back to Toronto. And he kind of went from being a very important piece in Calgary to the absolute guy in Toronto.
I think that was a lot market driven too. And I mean, I always really respected, you know, you know what made me respect Doug Gilmore so much, and whether I'm talking about him in St. Louis or in Toronto or in Calgary or wherever, you knew what you were getting every night with Doug Gilmore.
Oh yeah. There's not many players, you know, like him in that respect.
No, there isn't. I mean,
now we should also mention that, you know, in this, cause it's, you know, fairly recently, the Leafs got absolutely demolished in the second round. They haven't made it that far. Like, they haven't made it to an Eastern final since Gilmore was a Leaf. Think about that. That's pretty wild for a huge market like that with endless, you know, bottomless pockets and before the cap era. That's pretty remarkable.
I don't know how many years Doug Gilmore has been retired, but it seems like a long time to me.
Doug, actually, I know this because I remember how it happened. He retired in 2004. He had the collision with Dave Lowry of the Flames late in the season, put them both on the IR. Lowry would come back because Calgary had a deep playoff run. And I don't think Gilmore played again after that.
And then then
lockout, like you said, yeah.
When that lockout happened, we lost a lot of really good players. And it was just a quiet, because when you don't have hockey for a year, if you're at a higher age, it's harder to come back. And then we just forgot, right? I mean, great players didn't come back. And
I feel like I'm name dropping here, but I talked to Andrew Ferentz about that on the weekend at length about how that lockout killed that Flames team. It just killed them, you know.
Well, and it killed a lot of teams. I mean, it killed a lot of people's careers, because you can't just take a year off. I mean, and albeit a lot of players went overseas and played, and there was other options, but it was a game changer for the league. And then when the season started back up, people were just so happy to have hockey back. They didn't even we forget so quickly such good players. We just do.
Well, and I think the excitement of hockey coming back was a big part of that. But as you kind of alluded to. But at the end of the day, I kind of felt like we had to do the Gilmore trade first.
Oh yeah.
And it's not like we didn't get good pieces in return. There was a couple of pretty useful pieces. It's that, you know, the guy was so important and became even more important, arguably, and like you said, maybe because of spotlight in Toronto, but was such a huge piece. But there was no long-term plan there. It's not like, here's a bunch of prospects, we got to shed some cash. It's like, here's a bunch of spare parts, try and build yourself a car, right?
It was like a hockey deal that was really a bad deal.
That was atrocious. So now that we got that one off the board, and we could talk about that for an entire, probably three-part, you know, series. Throw one at me. What are you thinking for?
Well, I'm going to piggyback right off of that. And that was a day in December of 1995. On the 19th, we traded another piece of that Stanley Cup winning season. We traded Joe Nieuwendyk, a key center on that Stanley Cup winning team, to the Dallas Stars for Jarome Iginla and Corey Millen, which I have a Corey Millen story for you too, if you care. But that was a deal that it got me thinking today, and I haven't fully thought through this yet, because it just came to me today when I was thinking about us talking about this, was that when we got Jarome Iginla, like, if you look at all, we always talk now that we need to go out and get a big center, right? We need to get this big superstar via the draft. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Flame stars that we've gotten over the years, I mean, I would say, you know, Gaudreau was a draft, Fleury was a draft. Robin Regier, we're going to talk about him coming up here. We got him through a trade. I mean, things happen. I mean, when we got Jarome Iginla, he was a first round pick of the Dallas Stars, I believe 11th overall in that 95 draft. So he was just a young prospect, and we thought we knew what we were getting, and it turned out wonderfully and changed the future of the organization. But at the time, people were pissed. And I remember when we gave up Joe Nieuwendyk, people were pissed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and understandably so. Nobody, I don't care what people say now, nobody could have possibly predicted how good Jerome Iguodala was going to be. And in fact, in 2001, Craig Button tried to trade him to Buffalo for Mike Pekka. Can you imagine what that would have done to this franchise?
Oh. Oof.
So, again, and Iguodala said it himself in 2001, 2002. You know, he decided he wanted to be a star in the league. I think I've said that on the show before. Mm-hmm. He made the decision. He had the tools, and he'd put in the work. And I remember Grant Fuhr telling him, you know, to stop trying to be so fancy and just shoot. You get a great shot. Keep shooting. But yeah, there was. I, and I've read, you know, some articles from that time period when Nieuwendyk was traded. I mean, the guy was, you know, one of the best centers, possibly. You know, you could argue the best center to ever play for the Flames. Yeah, I mean, yeah. it couldn't have worked out better.
We're leaving out the fact that, like, Joe Nieuwendyk kind of forced the hand on this trade.
He did. Yep, he absolutely did.
So, I mean, Helco, it's now, pretty it, well in the situation.
That now, he's yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, as much as we, you know, people have a tendency to shit on these trades, and because they were in a lot of cases bad, or in this one turned out really good, you know, they still trading Nieuwendyk was tough. But I mean, the economics at the time, the Canadian dollar, you know, Winnipeg had left, Quebec was about to leave. It was tough to get anything for these guys because teams knew, I feel, that the Flames were cash strapped and couldn't afford, you know, the deals these guys wanted, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Fire one at me.
For a trade?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a list here. Well, you know what? I think because if it kind of fits the same vein, we're in that 90s era. Let's talk about Theo Fleury.
That was another deal. It was money driven. It was a money fueled deal, and Fleury wanted money, and he was in the Flames' worst cash drop, and it wasn't going to happen. And as much as I remember this, because I mean, it was in 1999 of February 28th, and Theo Fleury was my favorite player. And but you know what? When I look back at it now, probably was the right timing, the right deal. And really, the return for the Flames was really good.
Oh, phenomenal, yeah. I think it's interesting, too, because if you look at the perspective of, like, the Avalanche, he only finished the season there, then signed to New York, right?
Yes.
And the Flames and Fleury, and Fleury talked about this in the book, were actually not very far apart in contract talks. Fleury wanted, if I remember correctly, 5 years at 5.5, and I think the Flames are offering 4 or 5 years at 4.5. So $1 million apart. Now, in the late 90s, that was a bigger chasm than it is today.
That was about $4 million today. But I mean, it was there.
It's, yeah, like they were, the negotiations were relatively close, but they pulled the trigger, they made the trade. Then, unfortunately, you know, Fleury had a terrible first year in New York. His second season was quite a lot stronger until he entered, substance abuse program with the NHLPA, but his decline as a player, and he said this himself, really kind of began with his exit from Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And that deal was Theo Fleury and Chris Dingman to Colorado for Rene Corbet, Wade Belak, a 2000 second round pick, which ended up being Jarrett Stoll, and defenseman Robin Regier, who was just a prospect at the time. And maybe you'll argue with me, but I believe ended up being probably one of the best defensemen in Flames history.
There's no, you can't argue otherwise. He absolutely was. He was Robin Regier. Those 2004 cup runs don't have without, the cup run doesn't have without him. Doesn't happen. Not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
And don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, this deal when Fleury left was crushing to the, to me and a lot of the fan base. I mean, people loved Theo Fleury in Calgary. And
of course,
what he did for this organization was amazing. I mean, the energy that he brought into that cup finals and the years after, and it, you know, it was hard to see him go, but you know, when you look at how his life, the state and the demons that he was battling were starting to show through, and then it just, yeah, it collapsed after that. And you feel bad for the player, for all that he has went through in his life. But, I feel like him leaving left. How do I say this? I feel like him leaving when he did left wonderful memories on the ice of him.
Mm-hmm.
and we didn't get it tarnished in Calgary. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was the end of an era. If not for the emergence of Iginla, it could have been conceivably could have been the end of the team, quite frankly. Yeah, he was the last piece of that, and he didn't want to go. I mean,
no. And he still says it. He's a Calgary Flame. Like,
yeah,
he loved his time in Calgary. Everything I've seen of him after this is he speaks so highly of everything that happened in Calgary.
Oh, his comeback attempt in 2009.
I wonder how exciting that was.
Oh, it was so exciting. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That shootout goal might be in the top 20 Flames goals of all time. I'm not even joking. Like, the arena, it was crazy.
Yep. And it's such a shame. I mean, and I don't, you know, thinking back on that team, like, you know, Brent Sutter had his own kind of agenda and kind of said, you know, if Fleury's not going to play in the top two lines, he's not going to play. We all still can't help but wonder what, you know,
would have been maybe.
Could he have potted 20 goals at that age in that condition? Probably, but anyway, you know, back to the trade though, like that, much like the Gidlin trade, really worked out fantastically for Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right, hit me.
Well, let's
this go is back tough. To this tough.
Let's go back to one that brings me back to just to me and you and in our conversation. It's a recent trade, and it is still to be determined as a defining deal, but it was to me such a mammoth trade that I don't know how it's not defining in some way or form for this organization. And that was the July 22nd, 2022 trade of Jonathan Huberdeau to Calgary, where we dealt Matthew Tkachuk to Florida for Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwint, and a first rounder in 2025.
Yeah.
So I know this is recent, and I know we've had our ups and downs on this deal, but it's giant. I mean, Tkachuk tied the hands of the organization. That's not fair. Tkachuk was open and up front, kind of tied the hands. It was the first sign and trade that we ever really saw, and that was an 8-year, $76 million deal he signed with for a living and then was shipped off to Florida. But the return for a guy that wasn't coming back to Calgary, I thought was very, very good. And I still, albeit the Huberdeau ups and downs and a lot better the year this year, I still think this was a huge win because we still call this a Huberdeau deal. It's as much a Weegar deal as it is a Huberdeau deal.
You think it's more so a Weegar deal. Weegar is kind of already earmarked to be the next captain of the Flames. At the time, like when this all went down, it probably doesn't happen at all if the Flames hadn't bridged Tkachuk in his previous contract, which, you know, they also done with Gaudreau. And they had what I would dare say was a bit of a bad habit of not, you know, pushing all the chips in on their top young players. And it's a gamble, and it could have worked out great. In both cases, it didn't. Now, with Tkachuk, I remember being an absolute, I remember that day so well. I had just dropped my girlfriend off at the airport. I was in bed that night, and my buddy Rob in Calgary started blowing me up, and it's, I'm like, what the hell is even happening? And then I started reading through, I'm like, holy hell, this was a massive trade.
I remember, I'm going to tell you my side of my, where I was, I'll never forget it. I was at a concert. It was Night Ranger was on stage. And it was an outdoor concert, and it was delayed because of a tornado, which we could visibly see. And so All the people at the concert were on their phones because of the tornado. And I got a text from you saying, I wish I would have saved that text. It was something about, are you seeing this? And I was like, what? And then my phone just started going crazy, but it was going crazy and I couldn't read anything. So like, I knew something was going on, but I couldn't read it. And then you're like, the deal. And I'm like, you want to tell me the deal? Because I can't get in it because the cell phones were just jammed. And I remember seeing it when I got home about 11 o'clock that night. And I was like in awe. I couldn't believe it.
I wonder, I'm actually looking at our conversation because I don't think I've ever deleted it.
It was July 22nd, 2022, and the deal went down about 8:30 Calgary time.
Yeah, I don't think I can get that far back.
That's a long ways back, Kyle. Come on. How many text messages we've had since then?
Not as many as I would have thought. But where are we here? Oh, we're back a year already. Man, where does the time go? Only
four more years to go. Or three more years to go. It was one of those nights. Like, you know how you just remember where you were on certain events? And that was one of them I really remember. And I remember how happy we were because, I mean, the thoughts of getting 115 assist leader in the NHL and a young defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar. And there was high hopes for Cole Schwint also. And a first rounder with it. I'm like, this is a giant return for a guy that wasn't coming back to Calgary, right?
Probably the biggest return you could ever hope to get for a guy who's not coming back. Think about the other trades we just talked about. It's like, man.
But yeah, why is a fan base that we still boohoo this trade?
Because Chuck's played in three straight Stanley Cup finals and, a good chance he'll win a second Stanley Cup, right?
But it's out of our control and we weren't going to get his services any longer.
No, but there's just that inclination to think that, right?
I know. It's
it's that whole what if thinking, which we're all guilty of at times. So I try not to.
Absolutely.
I try not to dwell, but I dwell on lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
Was it 22 or 23 that trade?
I thought it was 22.
No.
Was it? No. It was 2022.
You sure?
I'm going to type it into the computer right now.
No, I bought a Huberto shirt in 2023.
You probably got it on sale.
Yeah, that's correct. I did. So you're right. It would have been 22. I think I made $4 for that shirt. Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
That is something. Yeah, it was in July 25th. It was, well, this article.
You always check your facts. So I shouldn't.
I got it right. Yeah, July 22nd, 2022 is the day of the deal, or the night of the deal.
Oh, man. You know what? I might be able to find this. I'm under a year away now.
Okay, well, let's keep talking about the deal and the fact that, like, I still am a little upset that we don't have Cole Schwint anymore. We lost him on waivers this year.
And you liked him so much.
I did. We're so decimated on center depth, and he was a bigger body center that I thought I still hadn't lost hope on him, right? And he had playing time for Vegas all the way until, all the way through the end of the season. So I don't know. We'll see what that one ever transpires, but. I'm gonna while you're looking at that, I'm gonna talk about another personal memory of a deal that went down.
I go back to January 23. That's as far as I can go.
Really? So you were close.
Yeah.
Six months away.
It's all good.
Another, and then I'll let you talk about one here before we go. But another personal memory of a trade when it went down. The day that the Dion Phaneuf got traded to Toronto with.
Oh man.
I know exactly where I was. I was out in.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Bunch of snow and my phone was dinging. I had my AirPods in and they were dinging, and I'm just like, it wasn't AirPods, it was probably just headphones back then. It was in 2010. I didn't have AirPods, but my phone was just dinging, and then that there was this deal, and I was out in the snowstorm shoveling, and I was reading the deal, and I was just like, I don't know. At the time, I didn't really know what to think. All I thought was, oh, it's fine.
I remember thinking there was some locker room the rest of the time. I remember Brian Burke saying that he was with the Leafs, saying that, the Flames would make the playoffs after that trade. And I remember thinking, I don't think they will. And Stajan had a really hot start against Carolina, I believe. But actually,
41 points in 55 games after that. So,
yeah, we should recap what the trade was, though, for those who Matt forget. Stajan,
Nicholas Hagman, Ian White, and Jamal Mayers to Calgary. To Toronto is Dion Phaneuf, Frederick Shorstrom, and Keith Ollie.
Okay, Keith Ollie was a World Junior defenseman for Canada. Was really highly regarded. I remember now that you say that. I remember being really pissed he was involved in that trade. Did you ever see the documentary on? I think it was on CBC about Ian White.
Nope, didn't see that one.
Oh, heartbreaking. The guy fell off a cliff, got heavy into drugs, lost and he was playing in the KHL, but he was not a well man at all. And
I'm gonna have to look that one up.
And I mean, I don't know anything since then. I mean, we certainly don't. Get too deep into that kind of stuff on this podcast, but it's hopefully he's turned his life around. Man, that was a sad situation, very sad situation.
He was only in Calgary for the rest of that year, right? But was good. I remember him being.
He played the following season. I think he's actually the one that, and I shouldn't say it like this because it wasn't his fault. He played the next season and he had broken a vertebrae in Damon Lankow's neck with that slap shot, right?
Oh yeah.
But he was, because he was pretty prolific offensively, he was kind of the one of the next to stage and the key piece coming back in that trade, right?
Yeah, because, and then he went on to Pittsburgh, right? I believe he went from here.
Detroit. He went to Detroit.
Then to Pittsburgh then. Because he was a lot of places, I know that.
Did he play in Pittsburgh? I can't remember now. Let's.
I thought he played in Pittsburgh.
Let's see. He played in. It's funny to think about this stuff, eh?
Well, you know,
he played the rest of that season and the next season in Calgary. They barely played. Then he was in Carolina, San Jose, and Detroit.
Never Pittsburgh, huh?
No. And then he went to the KHL. Then he went back to AHL. He played as recently as 23-24 for Norfolk in the East Coast Hockey League. That's wild.
Yeah. You didn't even hear that. That would have been like a comeback story. Yeah, he wasn't ever in Pittsburgh. I don't know why I thought that. Oh, well. I was wrong. Do you have one more deal?
I've done this before, but I'm going to do it again because I'm still mad about it. I talked to somebody about this trade on the weekend, too. I forget who it was, but... My contender for worst trade in Flames history to this day and forevermore will be the trade of Mark Savard to Atlanta.
Oh yeah, you've talked about this one.
So and maybe we'll squeeze in one more because I can do this really quickly because it's really so simple. Mark Savard was coming off a 73-point season in Calgary, and I didn't look that up. I'm quite confident you can look it up yourselves. That's the correct number of points. I'm really good with numbers. He got dealt to Atlanta for Ruslan Zainalin, who never played in the NHL. One for one. Remember that, like on TSN Legends? The trade is one for one. So Savard goes to Atlanta, becomes a star. Well, he was a star player, quite frankly. Basically a superstar, and even more so with the Bruins shortly thereafter. Zainalin never comes. The reason they traded Savard was Conroy had clicked with the Gidlow and Savard was hurt. Savard couldn't get to Greg Gilbert's doghouse. They traded Savard. Then they fired Gilbert. They get rid of the player and the coach. When the hell has that ever happened?
The easy thing nowadays is just get rid of the coach, right?
Well, you do one or the other. Like, what the... Anyway, what do they call him? TSN head of scouting, Craig Button. And I like Craig Button. Don't get me wrong, but that was a rough, rough trade. And I think he's spoken about it since, and I'd like to ask him just to say, like... And hey, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time he must have thought Zainalin was going to be something, but man, what a brutal trade. And I will say that you can make the argument it's worse than the Gilmore trade, because at least the Gilmore trade, we got stuff. We got nothing from Mark Savard, who was one of the best centers in the NHL from about 2004-05 to his retirement around 2011 due to injury. So I'll leave it at that. Feel free to share some thoughts and throw another one at me.
I will end with a positive before we leave, and it'll be a quick one. But it was a minor deal that turned into a giant deal for this, and definitely a defining deal. Mm-hmm. November 16th, 2003 to Calgary, Mika Kiprusoff for a second round pick of 2005, which ended up being Mark Edward Vlasic, who was a hell of a player.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But Mika
Kiprusoff was the single reason we went on the 04 run. Yep. The single reason. And this deal went down because GM Daryl Sutter knew Kiprusoff from his days in San Jose. And San Jose, I believe, had three or four really good goalies. Vesa Toskala, I believe, at the time. And yes. Who was Nabokov, Evgeny Nabokov also. And so they had a plethora of goaltenders that were good. And he was brought up as a backup to Roman Turek and ended up...
You know what's fun? Actually, I talked to Andrew Ferentz. Roman Turek's name came up. Ferentz is still good buddies with Turek. And I mentioned how Turek restructured his contract to stay with the Flames, and that's that the 03-04 season, and Ferentz actually forgot about it. It was a fun chat. So it's really hard to overstate the importance of that trade. That's probably the greatest trade in Flames history. And it's actually...
It was such a quiet trade.
It's a testament to how good Kiprusoff was, because the fact that Vlasic was the piece that went back to San Jose, became the piece that went back to San Jose, who was a damn good defenseman, one of the better defensemen for about 10 years, is pretty telling. It actually worked out pretty, and you got to remember too, where San Jose, as you said, had that glut of, yeah.
It worked out good for San Jose because they got the pick, right? And then their scouting staff did a hell of a good job in getting Vlasic. So I mean, they had goaltenders. I mean, it's not like Vesa-Toskala didn't run off a good string. And Evgeny Dabakov also. So San Jose, it was a win-win for both organizations, right? It really was.
Yeah, tremendously. So, and when you consider that San Jose had those three goaltenders in Toskala, Nabokov, and Kiprusoff, yeah.
I do bet, though, that San Jose was a little bit hurt when Calgary beat him in round three.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you imagine that feeling? I mean, put yourself in the shoes of the Sharks when the guy you traded in November of that year knocks you out in the conference finals.
Yeah, and I kind of forget about that because, you know, in hindsight, you don't think about that quite so much. But at the time, yeah, like, man.
It's crazy how, you know, like, when I started thinking about doing this topic and me and you discussed it, it's like the biggest deal since we became co-hosts or whatever on this show is the Huberto thing.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest deal since we started working together on this project. But, I mean, this organization has had some big deals, like some really big deals that have went really good and then some that have went really, really bad. And I guess, you know what, if we pulled up every other franchise, we could probably say the same thing, right?
Sure.
We just have a tendency to remember the bad, but we forget about the wonderful ones like the Kiprusoff one, you know, like how well the Theo Fleury one turned out for the Flames, how well the Iginla one turned out for the Flames. And so there's some good there too.
I think, you know what, we talk about, like, we did an episode of Obscure Flames. It'd be cool to do one of Obscure Trades.
Yeah.
You know, these are kind of the big ones, but I think, you know, down the road, we should look at that. Because I bet there's some really cool trades we totally forgot about.
I'm sure.
And there's some that we, you know, there's some like the big one from January this year for Farabee and Frost, so we can't really judge yet. So we'll have to revisit that next season as well.
I was something to talk about, and Kyle and I enjoy doing this show, and we're going to be doing it through the whole summer. We appreciate everybody listening. We hope you enjoy these special episodes. When Kyle and I talked about doing these, I mean, I thought they were going to be fun. I did not realize they'd be as fun as they have been thus far. I really enjoyed it, Kyle.
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Well, Flames fan, keep enjoying your summer. We're back again next week with another special episode. I'm looking forward to this next one, too. So, make sure you check us out again next week. We enjoy each and every, anybody that reaches out, we enjoy that too. And we love your questions and your comments. Check us out on the web at flamesunfiltered.ca and on every podcast player. And you can watch us on YouTube. Also, thanks for listening. Enjoy your summer. We're back next week. Have a good week. Thanks, man.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Giroux and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.